Today, let's take a look at the Christian virtue of meekness. My name is Jean Henderson. I bring you greetings from Jacksonville, Florida. We will take a look at Fanny Price as an example of meekness in literature and at Isaac, the son of Abraham, as an example of meekness in the Bible. Fanny is the main character in Jane Austen's 1814 novel, Mansfield Park. Even though Jane was writing 200 years ago, her novels are still very popular with disciples around the world because they have timeless themes like integrity, brotherly love, romantic love, and meekness. We know that the Lord highly values the quality of meekness. The quiet and gentle spirit is of great worth in God's eyes. And then Jesus said, "The meek will inherit the earth." But it really looks like Fanny will not inherit anything, because Fanny is not meek, she is weak. Fanny is not like the heroines of Jane Austen's other novels, not like Elizabeth Bennet of Pride and Prejudice, or like Emma Woodhouse of the novel Emma. Both of them are confident, outspoken, spunky. By contrast, Fanny is very insecure. She lacks confidence. But meekness is confident. It is not fearful weakness. It's not anxious. When I was growing up, I thought that meekness was weakness. And as a result, I would overreact and I would become confrontational or argumentative. But meekness is not weakness. It is self-controlled strength. So, what is Fanny's story? How does she grow into a woman who is meek and not weak? At the age of 10, Fanny leaves her family in Portsmouth, England, and travels 2 days north by carriage to live with her mother's sister, Lady Bertram, and her family at Mansfield Park. Mansfield Park's a beautiful English country estate owned by Sir Thomas Bertram. This trip was all arranged by Mrs. Norris, who is the other sister of Fanny's mother and of Lady Bertram. Aunt Norris is a self-promoting do-gooder. She actually never really does the good herself, but she arranges other people to do it, and then she takes credit for it. But Mrs. Norris has persuaded her sister, Lady Bertram, and Sir Thomas to allow Fanny to stay and be educated along with their own children at Mansfield Park. It seems that Fanny's mother just has too many children to raise them all on the very modest income of a Navy seaman. Fanny's mother had married below her social station. Mrs. Norris had married at her social station to a country vicar. Lady Bertram had married above her station to a baronet who owned a sugar plantation in Antigua and Mansfield Park. When 10-year-old Fanny arrives at Mansfield Park, she misses her family desperately. She's very uncomfortable in the unfamiliar surroundings. Fanny's two cousins, Maria, who is 13, and Julia, who's 12, cannot understand how Fanny could possibly be so backward. Fanny has no knowledge of French or geography or history. She cannot draw. She cannot play the piano. She doesn't have clothes. Then to make matters worse, both Mrs. Norris and Sir Thomas continually remind Fanny that she is fortunate to have been lifted out of poverty. However, she is never going to be on the same social level as the Bertram children. She will always be socially inferior. In fact, Mrs. Norris takes every opportunity to put Fanny down so that, in her view, Fanny will be properly grateful for what Fanny clearly does not deserve. Well, how is Fanny going to survive with so few accomplishments and such a timid character? Because this treatment only serves to make Fanny even more insecure and timid than she already is. And her natural temperament type is introspective and non-assertive. Well, fortunately, Edmund Bertram has compassion on Fanny's tears. Edmund sees her frustration and helps her to adapt to her new situation. When 10-year-old Fanny comes to Mansfield Park, Edmund is 16. He is the second son of Sir Thomas and of Lady Bertram. Edmund's older brother, Tom, is 18, and he is the one who will inherit the baronetcy, Mansfield Park, and the sugarcane plantation. But as the second son of a baronet, Edmund must choose between one of three respectable professions that's suitable for younger sons, either military service, or law, or ministry. And Edmund really wants to be a minister. And it's not because it's a comfortable living as some see it, but because he wants to preach and to serve God. So it is Edmund who teaches Fanny about faith in God. Edmund helps Fanny with her lessons, and he teaches her to ride a horse. And Fanny is very grateful for his kindness and attention. But she would like to have some sense of purpose and fulfillment in her own right. So she makes herself useful to Lady Bertram. Fanny helps Lady Bertram with her needlework. She reads to her, she runs errands for her, and becomes a companion to Lady Bertram. It's interesting that Lady Bertram has absolutely no desire to accomplish anything or to do anything productive herself. She doesn't even do any parenting of her own children because she can leave that to the governesses. And of course, she doesn't do the housework. She has servants for that. But Lady Bertram does not even share in her husband's struggles. She is naturally calm and gentle like Fanny, but it seems that she is not meek. She is weak. And that is because Fanny Bertram has never had any financial or social problems. She's never had any reason to exercise her meekness muscles and develop strength of character. And as a result, Lady Bertram is ill-prepared when challenges come, and we all know that challenges do come. After Fanny has been at Mansfield Park about 6 years, we start to see that she is growing into someone who is meek and not weak. Meekness is a quality of the heart that can only be seen in interactions with other people, and in this case, with Mary Crawford. It seems that Edmund has fallen in love with Mary Crawford, who is the sister of the vicar's wife at Mansfield Park. Mary is everything that Fanny is not. She is vivacious, she's captivating, charming, financially independent, and socially adept. She's a talented harpist. She has a lot of accomplishments. And Mary thinks that Edmund is the perfect man for her because he is a handsome man of integrity and kindness. But Mary is not particularly interested in spiritual things. She sees little value in seeking a close relationship with God for herself. And on a tour of a grand country estate that's not far from Mansfield Park, Southerton Manor, Mary finds out that Edmund has chosen to go into ministry. And she is not happy about that because a vicar's income is just not great enough. Mary wants Edmund to go into law. At Southerton, we first see Fanny start to exercise her meekness muscles. So when the Bertram family and the Crawford family enter a very little used chapel when they're touring the estate, Fanny says, "It is a pity that the custom of family devotionals every day should have been discontinued. It was a valuable part of former times. A whole family assembling regularly for the purpose of prayer is fine." "Very fine indeed," says Miss Crawford, laughing. She makes quite a few disparaging comments about being made to go to chapel, about servants being made to go to chapel, especially if the vicar's not much to look at. And her irreverent and flippant response makes Fanny angry. But wisely, Fanny does not speak when she's angry. She lets Edmund fend what she means to say. And I can tell you that every time I've spoken out of anger, I have never been pleased with what I said. My response has always been unrighteous and hurtful, and I've had to go back and apologize, usually a couple of times, before the other person really forgives me. And apologies really are not very much fun to make. Meekness dictates that we calm our emotions, pray, and give a wise response, usually, at least for me, at a later time. But Mary Crawford is what many women of today admire. An example of this is Rebecca, who wrote a review online of Mansfield Park. She writes, "The Fanny of the book is subservient, repressed, and suffers from nerves to the point that I could not respect or like her. Her virtue, so Austin calls it, is in putting everyone's needs and desires, as stupid as they may be, ahead of your own welfare and happiness. And then in the end, somehow you will eventually be rewarded by a decent income and a handsome husband." Well, apparently, Rebecca sees meekness as weakness. Instead, is not the opposite true? Is it not the meek who will inherit the earth? Is it not the submissive spirit the most powerful in the long run? Jesus tells us not to retaliate, but to return good for evil. So which is harder to do? Fight back or control your responses? Does it take more strength to control your temper or to lash out and fly into a rage? And as someone who is prone to angry outbursts, I can say for sure that it takes more strength to remain calm and thoughtful. And it takes the most strength to empathize and to love people who wrong you. Sometime after the trip to Southerton Manor, Fanny has to exercise her meekness muscles again. And this time, it's with Sir Thomas. Sir Thomas has been repeatedly putting pressure on Fanny to marry Henry Crawford, Mary Crawford's brother. Henry seems to be an ideal match. He's wealthy, he's well-connected and charming, but Fanny does not trust Henry. Henry is an outrageous flirt that loves to make women fall in love with him. Then when women return his affection, he backs away entirely. Fanny saw this happen to her two cousins, both of them, Maria and Julia, and she well knows that it could happen to her and probably will. So Fanny just politely does not return Henry's interests. Well, that confuses him, and he becomes more and more ardent. And finally, Henry realizes that Fanny is a woman of noble character, and for that reason, he must marry Fanny. He goes and asks Sir Thomas for Fanny's hand in marriage. Sir Thomas cannot comprehend Fanny's refusal of Henry. He thinks that it must be because Fanny is afraid that her social station is far too inferior to Henry's. Here again, Fanny demonstrates meekness. For most of Fanny's life, she has been afraid of Sir Thomas. Now she finds out that she must stand up to him. And all she chooses to say is that she does not love Henry. Because Fanny does not want to malign Henry's character to other people. If it were I would have been tempted to enumerate Henry's faults to my family and friends so that they would have a good opinion of my decision. But Fanny doesn't do this. Finally, Sir Thomas loses patience with Fanny and sends her home to Portsmouth so that she can come to fully appreciate the gracious life that she has at Mansfield Park. And then by comparison, she will accept Henry Crawford's offer of marriage. When Fanny arrives at her family's home in Portsmouth, they are happy to see her, but then after that she's treated with mostly indifference. She finds the household to be exactly like she left it, chaotic and in disorder. But here again, Fanny shows meekness. She doesn't want to be critical. She tries to make herself useful. Finally, after about 3 months, Fanny's family at Mansfield Park come to see that Fanny has been right all along.
In Fanny's absence, the Bertram family has fallen apart. Maria has been disgraced by Henry Crawford. Julia has run away to get married. And Tom is ill from excesses in lifestyle. Sir Thomas and Lady Bertram and Edmund find that they have need of Fanny's strength of character. When Sir Thomas takes a moment to reflect on his parenting of Tom and his two daughters, Austin writes that his children had never been taught to govern their inclinations and tempers. Instead, they had been instructed theoretically in their religion, but never required to bring it into daily practice. He had meant for them to be good, but his care had been directed toward teaching good manners, not self-denial and humility. Well, Sir Thomas feels absolutely wretched about this, and he sends Edmund to Portsmouth to bring Fanny back to Mansfield Park. And Fanny is happy to go back. She wants to help the family that she loves. And as the scripture says, the meek will inherit the earth. In another review that I read online, Charity writes, Fanny was too virtuous a character to be likable. She was dull as powder and entirely too submissive. I would have much more enjoyed reading about the spunky Miss Mary Crawford. She would have proved to be a much more approachable heroine, and her hijinks could never be boring. Well, perhaps Charity would also consider Isaac, the son of Abraham, to be boring. Years ago, I heard a college Bible professor describe Isaac as dull. However, Isaac wasn't dull. He was meek. In Genesis, Isaac's servants dig a well, and the Philistines claim it is their well. So Isaac lets them have it. He moves on and digs another well. Again, the Philistines claim it is their well. Isaac moves on once again and lets them have it. Finally, after this third well is dug, no one claims it. He can now live peaceably in the land. And God is pleased with Isaac and blesses him. Then the Philistines come to make a peace treaty with Isaac because they realize that Isaac is now strong enough to wipe them out for the bad way that they treated him. So Isaac agrees to the peace treaty and sends them away in peace. The meek will inherit the earth. Isaac and Fanny show me the very definition of meekness and strength. Meekness is strength under control, strength under God's control. Meekness is strength that does not retaliate. It is strength that trusts God. Meekness is strength that forgives and strength that loves. And as dull as that may appear to be, I'm praying to be strength to have that kind of meekness in exactly that way. Thank you for listening, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.